We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 18 through 25, but I'm really going to zero in just on a couple of the verses. So let me read to you out of 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to us this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The title of this message is Death for Sin and Death to Sin. God spoke to me pretty hard about sin and the cross, and he's spoken to my heart about how serious he takes sin, and so that's where the message will come from today, just from God and his thoughts to my heart about sin. So it's death for sin and death to sin. Bruce Bickle writes in his little devotional, Listening to God, in many ways the Word of God is like a great novel. The author is world famous. The plot is a page turner, dealing with classic themes of beginnings, sin, loss, and redemption. The hero has to go through many trials before paying the ultimate price, and in the end, the good guys win. I want you to know that he's talking about the hero being Jesus Christ, and the good guys are us as we win through the blood of Jesus. And he writes on, of course, there are some differences between the Word of God and a great novel. For starters, his word isn't fiction, it's entirely true. And the hero is a real person who died and rose again, who will someday return to complete the book's ending. Beyond that, there's one more thing that separates his book from anything else ever written, and you're in it. Not by name, but by virtue of who you are. As author of the Bible, God set up the plot. He knows what's going to happen, and the fact is that he's written the story with you in mind. When you read a part of his story, you're going to find yourself in the plot. You might want to ask why, and it's because we all have something in common. And these two verses are the verses that God has spoken to me pretty serious about. First of all, Romans 3:23, I think we all know that verse. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So I want us to really zero in on those two verses. As I talk about the rest of the message, I'm going to come back to, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as well as the gift of God is eternal life. I don't know about you, but Easter usually is Easter egg hunts, family coming over, dying eggs, candy, just a good time of fellowship, coming to church on sunrise service, and just our regular Easter worship time. And we use Easter as a time to remind people how serious God is about sin, how serious he was about the sacrifice he sent for sin. And the Bible also tells us that God hates sin. He cannot even be around sin. And God really doesn't tolerate sin. The reason being is because God is pure, he's good, he's righteous, he's perfect, he has not a single blemish. And he wrote the book, and the book says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I think we could tell by his thoughts that he takes this sin stuff pretty serious. But there is a problem with that. Since Adam and Eve committed that first sin, we're born with sin. A sin nature, it's kind of like our DNA. and something has to be done with that sin. Now, we can't help the sinful way we're born. We're just born with it. But it also, at the time, separates us from the Lord Jesus, from God Himself, and He has to do something about that. But I want you to hear today that God intended from day one for us to have a relationship with God. And because of Adam and Eve, because of that first sin, there was a separation in that relationship. God takes care of the problem. He sends Jesus in a way of reconciling us back to Himself. But I want to read to you again out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible says, Jesus Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we have been healed. So the Bible makes it pretty clear that God takes sin pretty serious. Serious enough that Jesus had to die on the cross. So today as we meet together, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's a cross right there that Jesus, if you imagine Him hanging on that cross, because there's only one way for us to get back in that right relationship with God. Somebody has described that cross as the collision of God and sin. And if you know your Bible, you know that God always required a sacrifice for sin. He would often require an unblemished lamb, a perfect lamb, a precious little lamb to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And 2,000 years ago, God still required an unblemished lamb. As a sacrifice, He sent Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. And because of that, we've got Scripture reminding us of what Christ did for us. And first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, in other words, from sin, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then we have John 3:16. I know we all know that by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, shall not die, but have everlasting life. So this week I read an awful lot about the cross, and one of the men I read was Oswald Chambers, and he wrote this in Utmost for His Highest. The cross of Christ is the revealed truth of God's judgment on sin. Never associate the idea of martyrdom with the cross of Christ. It was the supreme triumph, and it shook the very foundations of hell. There is nothing in time or eternity more absolutely certain and irrefutable than what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. He made it possible for the entire human race to be brought back into a right standing relationship with God. He made redemption the foundation of human life. That is, He made it a way for every person to have fellowship with God. The cross was not something that happened to Jesus. He came to die. The cross was His purpose in coming. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, as in Revelation 13 and 8. The incarnation of Christ would have no meaning without the cross. And the incarnation simply means that God came down in human form. He gave up His deity. He was fully God, but He was also fully man. Oswald Chambers continues to write, the purpose of the incarnation was redemption. God came in the flesh to take away sin, not accomplish something for Himself. The cross is the central event in time and eternity, the answer to all the problems of both. The cross is not the cross of a man, but the cross of God, and it can never be fully comprehended through human experience. The cross is God exhibiting His nature. It is the gate through which every individual can enter into oneness with God. But it is not a gate we pass through. It is one where we abide in the life that is found there. We find that life in Christ. The heart of salvation is the cross of Christ. And the forgiveness of your sins must come through that cross, and there is no other way for your forgiveness. 1 Peter 1:19 told us that we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish, a lamb without spot. The title again of this message is Death for Sin, Death to Sin. your DNA changes when you come to the cross and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You become a new creation when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We need to understand that Jesus died for our sins, that we might die to self and allow Jesus to take over into our life. I want to share with you five things today that happened to you in 1 Peter chapter 2. First, in chapter 2, verse 21, Christ suffered for you. And I'm going to use the pronoun you instead of an us. I want you to realize that he died and he suffered for you. Verse 21 tells us, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us." But I want to substitute you and for us. So Christ suffered for you, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps. How often do you think about Jesus suffering for you personally? If you'd been the only person to have sinned, Jesus would still have died on that cross just for you. He suffered a most horrible death just for you. Can you imagine that Jesus loved you enough, you personally, to die on the cross just for you? The second thing he did for us is he lived on this earth as a human being, giving up his deity to live a sin-free life in order that he could be put to death as a Lamb of God. Verse 22 tells us, "He who committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth." Again, he was fully God and fully man, and he gave his deity to walk down on this earth as a man. He was tempted as you and I were tempted. If he hit his thumb with a hammer, he had the same thoughts, I'm sure, that you and I did, except he didn't sin. He didn't go all the way with it. He was fully man, and as he was fully man, he lived on this earth for you so that he could prove to us that he was sin-free. He was perfect. He was the Lamb of God that was without spot. Jesus wanted you to know that he called himself Son of Man some 80 times in the Bible, just that you would know that he was fully human, the Son of Man. In verse 24, the third thing Jesus did for us, he bore your sins on his body. Verse 24 says, "He bore our sins in his own body on that tree." Again, he bore those sins for you, individually, for us. He took your sins on his body. He was hanging on that cross for you as he received your punishment. You should have died instead of him dying, but he loved us enough that he gave each one of us life eternal as he hung on that cross and took our punishment. The fourth thing he did in verse 24 again, your sins, so that he bore your sins so that you could live a righteous life. The Bible tells us the second part of verse 24 that we have died to sins that we might live for righteousness. Not quite sure how to tell you what I'm thinking. How often do you think that as he died on that cross and we accept him, we died to sin that very moment that we gave Jesus our life? And how often during the day do we think about that sin, especially the times that we commit sin over and over and over? He bore our sins on his shoulders. He bore your sins on his shoulders. And we accept that. We live a righteous life through Jesus. So my mind was going all over the place on this thought. The things that we do every single day that we know are wrong, if they're wrong, that's not living a righteous life. That's not putting sin to death in our heart. So he bore our sins so that you and I would live a life of righteousness. Before I go to the last part, I don't want to leave this one. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life." I want you again to think about your everyday life. The things that we do in our life that bring dishonor to God, the things that come out of our mouth that bring dishonor to God, that the thoughts that we have that are sinful. God died on this cross to defeat the sin that's in our lives. As He exchanged His life on the cross, He invited us to have Him and His life, His righteousness, His holiness in our own lives. So I'm very grateful to the Lord, I hope you are too, that He died and paved the pathway that you could be righteous just as He's righteous. The fifth thing that He did, it's in the last part of verse 24, whose stripes you were healed. He took the stripes that you and I should have received. He took the suffering of the stripes to heal us. Why did He do this? Why did He love us so much? Why did He have to come back to die on that cross? Why did He go through the suffering? And verse 25 gives us the answer to that. For we were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. We're the ones that went astray. We continue to go astray. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ to return to this earth so that you and I could accept Him as Savior. You were born sinful, already going astray. Through the cross, you return to God. And then Jesus becomes the overseer of your life. As He's overseer of your life, not only is He overseer of your life here on earth, but for eternity. Again, death for sin, death to sin. For all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin separates us from God. The gift of God, life, is the life of Jesus. He comes into our life with His life. He comes into our heart with His life. It's a brand new life. It's a gift from Him. And we live that life as we're on earth. I'm asking today forgiveness for my sinful ways. And I'm just going to say what I'm thinking right now. And if you don't agree with me, then you just don't have to. But every day, people get on social media, and Christians get posted things that they ought not post. And if you post something that doesn't redeem the Lord Jesus Christ, what good does that do to the Lord to post half the stuff that we post on social media? How often do you post an old dirty joke, or you get mad at somebody and you just let something fling out of your mouth on social media? And I know we're guilty of that. And I'm telling you that God takes sin pretty serious. So today would be a really good day to ask God for forgiveness for our sins. He died on that cross. That's how serious He took sin. He gave His life for our sins. He died for you. If there was nobody else on this earth but you, He would have died on that cross for you. He defeated the death that you and I should be, should have already been killed. So again, I'm going to pray. I'm asking today forgiveness for my sinful ways. And I'm just going to say what I'm thinking right now. And if you don't agree with me, then you just don't have to. But every day, people get on social media, and Christians get posted things that they ought not post. And if you post something that doesn't redeem the Lord Jesus Christ, what good does that do to the Lord to post half the stuff that we post on social media? How often do you post an old dirty joke, or you get mad at somebody and you just let something fling out of your mouth on social media? And I know we're guilty of that. And I'm telling you that God takes sin pretty serious. So today would be a really good day to ask God for forgiveness for our sins. He died on that cross. That's how serious He took sin. He gave His life for our sins. He died for you. with nobody else on this earth but you, he would have died on that cross for you. He defeated the death that you and I should be of, should already been killed. So again, I'm going to pray. If you would, let's pray together. So bow your heads with me. Almighty Father, God, today's message is about Jesus and sin, dying for our sins, dying to sin. I pray, Lord, that we would review in our hearts, Lord, our life up to this moment. What comes out of our mouth, it just springs from our heart, whatever comes out of our mouth. Father, the things that we put on social media that bring you no redemption, there are no redeeming values to them. The thoughts that we have, Lord, the way we speak to one another, the ungodliness in our lives, the unrighteousness in our lives. Father, I pray for forgiveness for us. I pray, Lord, that you would hear our hearts today and forgive us of all our sin. Father, as we think about the cross and how serious that was to you, we sure thank you for dying for our sins and making a way for us to go to heaven, spend eternity with you. Today, Father, there be anybody that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would pray a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Make me whole. Give me life eternal. Father, we know how fast you'll do that. Just in the twinkling of an eye, you'll come into their life. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. And I pray this in Jesus' name.